Father, without you, we can do nothing. But when we're anointed of you, all things are possible. Miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm looking forward, Lord, to bring forth your word today so that the church can be changed from what it was to what it needs to be. And all of God's people said, there was a couple of pieces of information that came during the week. One of them who gentleman from the South, and another couple that released information on the web. I want to go into names and all that stuff because, you know, I see so much human worship. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's not of God. The human worship is part of the soul. And I heard this morning over in my heart, because of all this information that seems to be pouring in, especially for this season, second half of this 2009. And one of the messages was being poured out was there will be two churches. There'll be the real, and there will be the false, but it's going to be so close that you will have a hard time to discern which is which. And I said to the Lord, you know, this is good. This is very good. He said, but unless you have discernment, you won't be able to tell one from the other. In other words, they're going to be so identical. And I can remember, as I pressed in towards the Lord, I said, Lord, what about the laying on of hands? What about the miracles? What the signs and wonders? He said, didn't I tell the one that didn't know me? They call me Lord. They cast out demons. They pray in new tongues. But they're like big gongs making lots of noise. Right? Will they be filled with the Spirit? Joel 2 says, all will receive, male, female, young, old, won't make any difference. They're all going to receive. But the end result is, what do you do with it? Do you become more like Christ, or are you going to be a seductive one? Because the other church is not going to be in love with Jesus, the Most High God. They're going to be in love with themselves and use it as a tool to build themselves up. So it's going to be a prostitute church. It's going to sell its flesh. It's ugly. And then I said, Lord, what does that have to do with today? And he sent me to Hosea. Again, I've been in Hosea a lot. And we're going to go there a little bit, but I want you to be aware. The ones that are deceived have no clue that they're deceived. Otherwise, they're not deceived. A good, deceptive person has no clue that they're deceived. And yet, if you have the light of Christ within you, you're aware that they're deceived, and if you tell them, it brings what? It brings anger and a defense mechanism. I'm right and you're wrong and leave me alone. How many have ever received those words? I'm right, you're wrong. And as you listen to them, you can see the fruit of their anger that they have no clue. You know, it's just ironic that you have two churches growing up and both of them full of the Holy Ghost. One is to purpose to build itself up and make itself look glorious. The other has got their hands towards the Father and are in love with the Father. No pride. No selling of itself. Which do you want to be a part of? It's not going to bring any glory to you to be a part of the house of prayer. Why? Because we're here to build each other up and to support each other, but to bring glory to the Most High God, not to ourselves. That's the purpose of who we are. The fivefold gifts are not to build you up to make you look good and to sell yourself as a piece of meat. I'm being dramatic, but I'm trying to tell you something. Back in 1989, I met a young man who had a great church down in Texas. And I spent a week there. And I can remember he said, "You have no idea how the church prostituted me." He was on national television for a while. He was an awesome, gifted man of God. And he walked away and he threw it all out. And he said, "It's not God. I'm not going to be prostituted." But he was for a season because he didn't know any better. And he said, "They were making money out of me." He says, "And I can tell you who the pimps were." And he says, "If I told you the names of the pimps, those are the people you worship. Because you all run to their program. And you get fascinated by their awesomeness." And he says, "It's the Holy Ghost church that the enemy's after. Wake up." Oh, by the way, I'm preaching. But I'm angry. I'm angry because you know what? That prostitute is stealing from you. Yeah, don't look at the neighbor. It's stealing from you. It's stealing from the house of prayer. My sister informs me this week, she says, "You know, there's a need financially. You need to really pray." I went to the Lord and I says, "Lord, what's the problem?" He said, "They're being seduced. Some are being seduced. And their finances are going elsewhere. And the house is suffering. And you know what? I can take you right now to Hosea and show you that this same thing happened to Israel. The temple got destroyed. Why? Because they needed to refurbish it and nobody was interested. Their focus was themselves. They didn't put the money in where it needed to go. So it deteriorated year after year after year after year. What am I saying to you? Trying to put guilt on you? Absolutely not. But I'm trying to wake you up. Pray before you give. Pray before you do something. And some of you are doing a mighty work for God. And I'm blessed. But others, not necessarily those that are sitting here. But you could be seduced. Be careful. It's a caution light. Be careful. And you know what? When we are obedient with what God has given us, He will bless us back. Amen? I got a telephone call this morning from my wife's cousin. And he says, "I'm in a hurry this morning, but I want to bring you a gift." Now, this person hasn't been to my house for maybe 2 years. But his son's wife forced him into planting a garden. And he didn't want to plant a certain plant because it's hard to work with. But she promised him, "If you plant yellow beans, I'll go pick them as long as you take care of them." So he says, "I'll meet you in the driveway in about 2.5 minutes. So I went out to the driveway And he deposits a great, big, nice, you know, large Ziploc bag full of yellow beans, all trimmed, cut, ready to be put into the pot. So guess who's having some fresh string beans for lunch? Tim. My wife looked at it and she says, you know, she says, even when my dad planted a garden, which I did the planting and he did the upkeep, but whenever we had to go out there, even when we were young, the backache that would be performed on us from just crawling in those wonderful string bean plants. And she says, you know what, even after all those years, and I may be almost 73, she says, I couldn't stand it then, I just got blessed. Yes, you did. She said, they're all fixed, you don't even have to cut the tails off. We got blessed because we planted years back and we harvested years back, but now we're getting what? The fruit. Without having to do any of the homework. That's good news. Why? Did we prostitute ourselves to receive it? No. God will use simple things to show you who He's caring about. Okay? Now, He didn't bring this next week because I guess we needed Him this week. More than anything else, my heart is that you will stay humble before God. My heart is that you will look to who you're serving. That you will be purposing that the Most High is the goal that you're seeking. And that you will not be looking at satisfying self. Because that's the road of deception. Yesterday at the leaders' meeting, I got a word. And I want to share it with you because it was confirmed at least three times before I even gave it. There is so much that I desire to impart to you and to teach you my ways, but you would not have a part of this. You desire what you are familiar with and comfortable with, because only then is your soul at peace. But when I desire to take you higher, you pull away. Choose to trust me and choose to listen. And I will do and show you that I am Lord and King and your High Priest. Trust me. Trust me. See, the agenda is already set. And I can only do as I have been directed by your carnal mind. And yet you call me Lord. Which church is he addressing? He's churning and pushing on the carnal church to change her ways so that she will come and become focused on the Most High and not on satisfying what the carnal mind has already set into place. How many have a problem with the carnal mind bringing you to the wrong place at the wrong time for the wrong reasons? So you see, it's being identified. So that when it's identified, you can see the truth. When the truth is now visible, you can do something about it. How many have had a problem trying to turn themselves around or change their minds? Thank you! And I told the Lord this morning, Lord, I got this awesome problem. I got this carnal part of me that runs in the wrong direction. And I can't stand it. He says, that's the beginning of wisdom. When you can't stand what you see the flesh doing, that's the beginning of a wake-up call. Will you humble yourself? And I began to repent. I said, yes, Lord. Now, what is repentance? Changing my mind. I said, Lord, I can't even change it. Will you pull down the strongholds? He says, yes, if you give me permission. I said, you've got permission, go for it. He said, if you give me permission and I start cutting away, you're going to call it surgery. And I'll call it healing. God is cutting something away from you, you're going to feel like you've just been chopped up. And the feelings and the emotions are going to scream, and you're going to say, I can't handle this! Please! How many of you have ever asked God to stop? Come on, put your hand up. Thank you. You know, be honest with Him. Lord, it hurts. Would you give me grace, please? It hurts so bad to be left alone and nobody seems to care. Seems is the tricker. It's seemingly that nobody cares. But in reality, the Holy Spirit is what? He's on the job bringing counsel, bringing comfort, bringing change. Yes? Today is a new beginning. It's the eighth month, the second day, the day of division. I said, Lord, and I'm not going to go into the other corner because it's not necessary to go into details. But there was an area that I was saying to the Lord, you know, it's been 20 years. So uncomfortable in this area. And He said, will you trust me? And I said, yes, I will. Now, when I choose to trust, will I get the emotion that I feel better? No! You won't! The emotions are going to be doing the exact opposite. They'll kick up a storm. They'll kick up something in your face. And I talked to you guys about it last week, but it's going to happen. And it is preparing you to be what? An overcomer. Are you ready to be that overcomer? The Scripture says you will be. Well, you're not going to overcome anything unless there's something to overcome. Amen? Oh my God, that was a weak amen. Say, Lord Jesus, I am an overcomer. And there is something to overcome. It's my flesh and my carnal, selfish ways. And you're not giving up on me. And neither will I. Hallelujah. You've got a plan of salvation for my spirit. It's already a done deal. For my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. All of that is in progress. It's in process. And you're renewing my flesh every day. And you're healing me. Even as you perform surgery, I will praise you. Even when it hurts, I will rejoice by choice and trust you by choice because you're an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hosea chapter 4. Very quickly. Verse 4. Let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priests increase, the more they sinned against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not increase because they have deserted the Lord and give themselves to prostitution. The old wine and the new, which take away the understanding of my people. They consult a wooden idol or are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on mountaintops, and they burn offerings on the hills, under the oak and poplar and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution, and your daughters-in-law to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Though you commit adultery, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Judah is the people of praise. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth Aven. Do not swear as surely as the Lord lives. The Israelites are stubborn, like a stubborn heifer. How then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in a meadow? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. Did you hear that? The rulers, the directors, the high mucky marks. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will then bring them shame. Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen, O royal house. And it goes on. Chapter 6. Verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. Did you hear who's in process of tearing you up and healing you? He has injured us, but he will bind up your wounds. So who's going to repair the work? He will. But you got to give him the problem to begin with. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will restore us. Did you hear the second day and the third day? Did you get a clue that the second day is not like the new that we're now living in? The second day was the time of deliverance. The third day is the time of perfection and resurrection. Amen? Okay. On the third day, he will restore us. Did you hear what he said? You're not going to be like Adam restored. You're going to be like Jesus resurrected. Is that clear enough? Say, I'm going to be just like Jesus. After his resurrection, full of life, radiating the glory of my Father. And he was given a sample at the time of Tabernacles, when he was on that mountain. A couple of saints showed up. A couple of fancy friends. One had been through death, and the other didn't. And they consulted together, the three of them. Why? To give you a foretaste of the third day. Listen to verse 10, chapter 6. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There Ephraim is given to prostitution, and Israel is defiled. Also for you, Judah, a harvest is appointed. Whenever I would restore the fortunes of my people, whenever I would heal Israel. Chapter 7. The sins of Ephraim are exposed, and the crimes of Samaria revealed. They practice deceit. Thieves break into houses. Bandits rob in the streets. But they do not realize that I remember all their evil deeds, and their sins engulf them. They are always before me. But then he says he's going to take care of the details, right? And you can definitely trust him. Go to chapter 13. Verse 14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? I will have compassion, even though he thrives among his brothers. An east wind from the Lord will come. An east wind from where? From the Lord will come, blowing in from the desert. His springs will fail, and his very wells dry up. His storehouses will be plundered, and all his treasures. The people of Samaria must bear their guilt, because they have rebelled against their God. They will fall by the sword. Their little ones will be dashed to the ground, their pregnant women ripped open. Return, O Israel, chapter 14, verse 1, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you, and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins, and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. And it goes on to the blessings that God will give you. When you have a chance, look a little deeper and see if it's not a picture that God gave to Israel so that the church could learn. It's the picture that, yes, you might have been used by a prostitute and you might have gone to the wrong places for the wrong reasons, but the Holy Spirit is on the job. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, you are my counsel, and I'm trusting for you to confirm with signs and wonders all of the things that have pulled on me, trying to pull me away from the Most High God. Keep me close to your heart, Lord. Counsel me in the night hours with dreams and visions and words of knowledge, so that I may mature for your glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the new garments, Lord. New garments. Kingly garments.